You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
As we turn to God in prayer, let us remember the discouraged and lonely, the sick and the bereaved. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, take away from us our fears and worries and teach us how to pray for ourselves and our loved ones. Take away all bitterness and rebellion over against the illness we are suffering, the bereavement we must endure. Bring us closer to you through a trusting faith in Christ who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Touch those who are ill with your healing power according to your will. Make our weak spirits strong, so we may pass through the trials and tribulations of life with a calm faith, trusting in your goodness, and to firmly believe that all things work together for good to those who love you. In Jesus' precious name we ask this, who intercedes for us before your heavenly throne. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the well-known theologian Kierkegaard wrote a book entitled The Gospel of Suffering. In other words, the good news of suffering. What kind of presumption is this? Seen through Christian faith, it makes sense. The Lord says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This gives us the courage to conquer all of our trials and troubles, our suffering and our sorrow. Courage is an essential part of our life. It is not only during these turbulent days that we need it, but in every moment of life when reverses and afflictions seem to swirl in upon us. It is only through a courageous faith in God that we can resist the whirlpools of depression and defeat. Through such a faith and trust in God, we can conquer all. The thought of spending lonely hours alone strikes fear into some hearts. Here is the widow or widower who has spent 25 or 50 years with a loving spouse, suddenly thrown into the dark life of loneliness. Where will he or she find the courage to face the future? Here is a healthy person suddenly stricken with a sickness which destroys all hope for a future normal life of work and pleasure. The doctor describes it as a terminal illness. How shall he or she face the future? Here is a young lady engaged to a young man, making plans for a happy wedding day, when suddenly she is jilted. How shall she face her embarrassment? Where will these individuals find courage to face the future? Psychologists say, talk it out and then forget about it. It is not so easily done. The Lord offers a solution in Joshua 1 verse 9. He says, Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord is aware of our plights and our problems and also of our cowardice. Jesus put his finger on our problems when he began his earthly ministry with the words, God sent me to proclaim relief to the captives. This is the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it spells freedom from fear and causes our fears to be allayed. In order to emphasize his great concern for us and to show that he is concerned about our every need, he became man. and says to us, I know what you are enduring, for I have endured it also. He has given us the message of redemption and adoption. We are told, He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8, verse 32. By a trusting faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the lover of your soul, you can be set free from the fears which beset you, and experience his love and adoption, whereby he says, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. Isaiah 43, verse 1. You, the spiritual captive, have been set free. Frequently during World War II, I would listen to Axis Sally reading the list of American prisoners held by the Nazis. Can't you see the parents of dear ones listening patiently to hear a specific name as she reads the names in alphabetical order, Abbott, Abramson, and so on? It reminds us of another list, on which I trust your name and mine will appear, those whom God has called out of captivity of sin and despair to the new life of courage and confidence in Him. We are the people whom God has called friends and promises us courage and comfort through Christ. You are an important person to God. In this vast universe, you are not just another person. You are an individual. When Apollo 9 was circling the moon, the astronauts said they could block out the Earth with a nickel, so small did it appear from outer space. Yet how important are two specks, you and me, to the God who loves us beyond human comprehension. Basically, not many people really care what you and I are or what we do, but God does. Through the sacrament of holy baptism, He has called us to become His own dear children and promises to take care of us. The hymn writer, Joseph Scriven, says, Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We understand more clearly what it means that Christ bore His cross for us when we must bear our crosses in life. Our suffering serves as an end for the refining of our faith, for it is through the affliction of the body and mind that we are purified in our souls. Several years ago, as my family and I were traveling north on Route 7 from Burlington, Vermont, we approached a beautiful New England valley. In the middle of the cornfield was a billboard with a message, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. That evening, as we stayed at a nearby motel, I learned that the owner had erected the billboard. He and his wife had lost a 14-year-old son by drowning several years before. Their confidence was in Christ and His salvation and the assurance of His love. Through the billboard, they were hopeful of giving strength to those who suffer bereavement and sorrow. Does your courage conquer all? Are the perils of life getting you down? Are you being treated also for the very thought of despair? And possibly are you being beaten down by the trials and worries and fearsome thoughts? Your constant question is, how can I overcome these defeatist thoughts? Start where everything must start, in our thoughts and in our hearts. The word courage is derived from the French word the heart. For example, the surname of Richard the Lionhearted, Coeur de Lion, meant that he was a man with the courage of a lion. It is a condition of your inner thoughts which are affected by thinking courageously. We become what we think. We are really today what we thought we would be like 10 years ago, and you will be 10 years from now what you are thinking today what you would like to be. The Bible says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think that God is with you, and that you could do all things through Christ who strengthens you, you can confidently and courageously say, If God be for us, who can be against us? Whatever your responsibility is, take the challenge. Don't be afraid if you will serve to the glory of God in the works that you are about to undertake or are undertaking, and if it serves to the welfare of your fellow man. If God had not thought you capable of doing it, He would not have assigned it to you. Do you have some great objective that you want to achieve, but are afraid that you are unable to attain the goal? Stop being afraid and ask your closest friend, Jesus Christ, to give you the necessary courage and help, you and he can achieve the goal successfully. In Christ, we can conquer all things that would prove to be disastrous to us under normal circumstances. In Christ, we can also conquer some of our tragic domestic problems, the marital strife, the household unhappiness, the friction between parents and children could all be resolved if Christ were welcomed into our family circles. Dying love could be revived, broken hearts mended, and unfaithfulness prevented if Jesus Christ would be a member of our family. Our daily prayer should be, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." This is done through Bible reading and family worship. It is achieved as we take the steps of doing things together in worship and play, in work and recreation. It takes a courageous parent to stipulate what the objectives of life in the family must be. A father should heed well the command of the Lord, "Bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Parents will be called blessed by their children only when they lead the children to Christ. Many heartaches and much disgrace could be avoided if parents would be as exacting with their children's religious instruction as they are about music and dancing lessons and social activities. The eternal success of a child depends upon the knowledge and the respect for God that has been instilled in that child's heart. It is reported that in 1976, 50% of our crimes were committed by juveniles. Does not this reflect the lack of training on the part of the parents or the bad influences set by the father and mother? Vice and immorality, crime and corruption will not disappear from the nation to any degree until it is erased from the home scene. Parents should set the example for their children of selecting for their future life's mates, husbands and wives, who have Christian principles and convictions. Only in Christ can we conquer all. Too often, individual parishes and church bodies seem to be fighting a losing battle in the winning of souls and influencing the communities of our nation. We hear of clergymen and laymen throwing up their hands in despair and saying, "What is the use?" If the message of the Holy Scripture is loud and clear and Christ is affirmed as man's Savior and Redeemer, then the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A newspaper story out of Iowa a few years ago told about a thunderstorm that shook up the community in more than one way. A particularly loud rumble apparently activated the chimes in a church steeple, and for the next several minutes, while the lightning flashed and the thunder boomed, a famous hymn rang out throughout the town, its title, "How Great Thou Art." Our church life must be activated by the Holy Spirit and through the study of the Holy Bible. It is knowing Christ, the head of the church, that we can sing out with confidence, "How great thou art." Christ must be exalted as the head of the church, and it must be built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. It is then that we pray, "Thy kingdom come," and not, "My kingdom come." There can be no room in the church for man-made teachings and neo-orthodoxy. When the church is aware that it is dealing with preciously bought souls, redeemed through the priceless blood of Christ, then we must adhere to the entire truth of Holy Scripture, or as Jesus says, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." We as individuals must remember that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. As we acknowledge our sin, repent of our transgressions, and accept the pardon of Jesus Christ obtained for us on the cross of Calvary. Sin, repentance, and pardon are like to the three vernal months of the year, March, April, and May. Sin comes in like March, blustering, stormy, and full of violence. Repentance succeeds like April, showering, weeping, and full of tears. Pardon follows like May, springing, singing, full of joy and flowers. Our eyes must be full of April with the sorrow of repentance, and then our hearts shall be full of May with the true joy of forgiveness. We are truly conquerors through Christ even in the midst of our sufferings and trials. When we have embraced Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and have been born into him anew, It is then that we understand the purpose of suffering in our lives. Author Robert E. Lucock says, "In God's suffering, we encounter something more than misery-loving company. There's real soul therapy, great spiritual healing in the companionship of a God who shares our deepest griefs, our sharpest pains, our darkest despair. For one thing, it assures us that in the vast scheme of life, we have not been forgotten in the veil of trouble. For another, it encourages us to discover that God does not willingly afflict us or complacently stand by as a spectator. Whatever we suffer, He suffers with us." St. Paul indicates that through suffering we become partners with God. As the apostle asked the Lord to remove his affliction, he was assured by God, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." With resolute faith the apostle answered, "Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." We gather holiness from woe and affliction. We gather strength and weakness as we place our hand into the hand of God, who will never leave us nor forsake us. With Him by our side, we can conquer all. Because God is our friend, we can overcome every fear, all lonesomeness, every thought of insecurity and doubt. Believe with confidence His promise. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God give you the faith to conquer all through Christ. Amen.